How would you define a happy marriage?
Well, I think a happy marriage is one in which you're sharing life with each other, which might seem like a given, but sharing life together means finding ways to enjoy being with each other and doing that in a way where, you know, both of you are contributing to what's going on.
I think when I think of a happy marriage, the word that comes to mind, or I guess words that come to mind, is friendship and fun.
I think a happy marriage starts with the Lord. If he's not the foundation, the capstone, then you may as well figure that this is going to be a rough ride. So if he's not first and that your husband's second, then you got some trouble. What happens, a lot of times people flip it. They put their spouse before God, or they put their children before the spouse. But God has set it up. He is first, and then your spouse is second, which means my whole life is to say, how can I please God and then honor my husband with my own life?
I think what makes for a happy marriage is a profound and strong commitment to one another, commitment to love one another, even when it gets hard, and to root that commitment in our love for Christ. Apart from how much my spouse loves me, apart from how much I love them, because I will fail and they will fail me. But Christ will never fail us, and he promises to keep us and to keep us together.
Honesty, vulnerability, accountability, unconditional love.
I think laughter.
That's true.
I think that's one of our strengths.
Yeah.
As the calendar gets closer to Valentine's Day, we're here to help you and your spouse prepare for this special holiday. Welcome to Season 7 of Loving Well Podcast. I'm John Fuller with my friends Greg and Aaron Smalley. They lead the Focus Marriage team. And following up on those clips, Greg and Aaron, what would you say are some of the qualities of a happy marriage?
Yeah, I love the question. And actually, the answer is we have a free assessment that really focuses on 10 qualities of a happy marriage, and you can see where you're strong and some growth areas. Mm-hmm. Within that, though, one of the things that I think is often overlooked when talking about a happy marriage is creating a marriage that feels like the safest and most secure place on earth. Mm. You know, oftentimes we think happy, oh, then we're laughing and playing, we're having good communication, we're having sex. I mean, all those things are an important part. They're in the assessment as well. But I tell you, if first and foremost, if people don't feel safe, if people don't feel secure within their marriage, their hearts will never open. In other words, they're not going to enjoy the relationship. They're not going to connect. They're not going to lean in and have those experiences that will create sort of that happy experience within their marriage. And so we're always encouraging people, boy, ask your spouse. How safe do you feel?
You're so good about these kind of questions. So ask what questions?
Yeah, I would just say ask your spouse, how safe do you feel? Mm-hmm. You know, within our marriage, how secure do you feel? Because I want Aaron to know, and I don't know. I mean, I try to be serious, but in some ways tongue in cheek, and I'm always telling her, hey, I'm with you till the end. Rather, that's a
is
good
that a
thing
threat or a promise?
Exactly. But I want her to know that I'm not going anywhere. I'm with you.
Yeah.
Thick and thin. We'll figure this stuff out. Because I want her to go, okay, so I feel secure. I trust in that covenant that we made over, you know, 31 years ago. And I want you to feel safe with me as well.
Mm-hmm. So often couples will come in and they'll say, you know, we're having conflict, or we're going through this hard season. Therefore, that means this about our marriage. Mm. And what I want to say is that a happy marriage has difficulties at times. The key is that you're working through them and that you're repairing those difficulties, as well as sometimes couples will say, well, if you have conflict, you don't have a healthy marriage. And that's not true either. Conflict can actually be the doorway to intimacy, as Greg's dad used to say. Mm. And so looking at it through the lens that this is an opportunity to strengthen our marriage.
Okay, go ahead.
Yesterday, Aaron, you texted me something that you found on compatibility or something, personality-wise. You texted it to me, and it showed that based on this particular personality assessment, that she should have married someone exactly like me.
Oh, yes. Nice.
And I would say that's a part of the happy marriage is that that we have a lot of fun and we enjoy each other.
Well, I mean, actually, it said that friends. Your personality decreases my anxiousness.
Oh.
And I was like, you know,
which is
that's
not quite
kind
the
of
same.
True. Yes. I talked about that your even keel personality yeah. levels me out. And so it, I was like, oh, look at
I'm
this.
Like, I'm like a favorite beverage. Like she just, you
like
know,
a
she
cozy,
just sits there.
Yeah, a cozy blankie. Yeah.
The snuggly and just sips on, you know, come on.
So safety is really yeah. crucial for yes. those conflict moments, and you want to yes. be bonded so that you can experience the full range of each other's emotional terrain. Is that a safe way to put it?
Absolutely.
Yes, that
way.
Sounds great.
Why
did
you
right.
say that in the first place?
Well,
was,
you're the expert.
We wouldn't
just...
have had to say anything.
Well, let's go ahead and hear from Ted Lowe. Ted is the founder and director of marriedpeople.org, and he talked to Focus President Jim Daly about some of the key ingredients for a good relationship.
When you're talking about positivity in marriage, that can be misconstrued. So what's the theological underpinning for the idea that, no, being positive in your marriage is biblical?
Well, you go to Philippians 4:8 and say, just run your spouse through the Philippians 4:8 filter, which starts with, you know, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is pure, whatever is right. And so the fact that that verse starts with true is really a great protector of anyone who's being abused psychologically or physically. If that's true, then that can't be, right? Mm. So it starts with, so this is not about rose-colored glasses. This is not about just saying I'm going to fake it or not communicating, but it starts with what's true. And then it goes to what's noble, what's pure, what's right, what's lovely. If anything is worthy of praise, think on those things. And so I think when people have a running list of what do you love about your spouse, I think it postures us to love our spouse in a way that we would never naturally love them on our own.
Yeah. The just the simplicity of being positive, why does it have such a strong impact on us? I mean, it's kind of a duh question, but somebody might be thinking it.
Well, I think, you know, one study shows that 80% of our thoughts are negative and 90% of them are repetitive, and that we have between 16,000 to 60,000 thoughts a day.
Wow.
So with all that going on, with all that negativity going on, when we stop and we get positive, we take captive, you know, when we transform our marriage by transforming our mind, by renewing our minds, it changes things. We start to see things through a different lens. And that was the thing. It changed our marriage and it changed my life to start thinking this way, because I don't naturally have positive thoughts about myself. Even to be honest, about my wife, I'm a little bit more critical thinker in that way. But when you start changing them and focusing them through God's lens, it just changes things.
Yeah. Why do you think that is? I mean, I get it. We're in a fallen world and sin entered the world, and that may be the answer, but why do you think we lean so easily toward negativity as human beings rather than towards something that I would describe as more godly, more positive? Especially as Christians, we can be some of the most critical people on the face of this earth.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's depending on who you're listening to, but a lot of secular research would say that our brains are hardwired to protect ourselves, and we're looking for the things that can hurt us all the time. So our brains are wired naturally that way in this world, that something's going to come after me. You know, our brains are not wired looking for joy,
yeah,
right? They're wired to be protective, and so we have to rewire them, and that's why scripture's so clear. And I got so excited about that, just to think that our relationship with Jesus could really transform us by us feeling his love for us and remembering and focusing on that and focusing on who he is. It's just powerful.
Well, I love that concept that Ted was talking about, Philippians 4:8 filter. That's a great idea. And it really is amazing how much better our marriage can be when we focus on the good things in our spouse. Greg, the simplicity of what Ted shared there really does go a long way in keeping the relationship with our spouse positive and lighthearted, doesn't it?
It really does. You know, normally Philippians 4:8, and I love his concept of that filter. You know, another great filter is Ephesians 5:29. We often talk about this, but it's just such a great reminder. That verse talks about that in terms of loving your spouse, we need to cherish and nourish our spouse. So another filter is this idea of cherishing. In other words, when I cherish Aaron, I notice, I'm aware, I'm very clearly reminded of how valuable she is, and that requires the exercise, thus requires me to think about, yeah, what is it about her? What are some of my favorite things? You know, I was just telling someone was asking me about just the Christmas break. And I said, oh, it was so good just to be able to relax because it's been a very hard, you know, last 6 months. Erin's in her doctoral program working. She works full time. And I just had this thought of just going, you know what? I honestly don't know someone who's a harder worker than my wife. And it's unbelievable what she's able to accomplish. And yet still I feel connected. I feel that she's engaged in our family. And I mean, when I went through my doctoral program, that's all I did.
Yeah.
Like I had some odd jobs. Yeah. Erin was a nurse working in the hospital. So, I mean, we had no money, but it's not like I had to do the doctoral work and, you know, raise kids and, you know, provide full time for my family, all of that stuff. And Erin does that marvelously and such. She's amazingly hard worker. And that's that idea of cherishing. That's a great filter to go when I see her. Am I choosing to keep those things that I really value about her first and foremost in my mind? Because that does shape how we view our spouse. Because it's easy when we're frustrated for that lens to turn more negative. And then I'm aware of what maybe frustrates me. So, but that's another powerful way to have a filter that, boy, really keeps us well connected.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate that.
So often in my counseling practice, people will come in with a list of what they don't like about their spouse. And they'll have pages. And I'll be like,
pages.
Well, I would love, I said, that's great. But I'd love to hear, like, what is it that they're doing right? What is it that you do admire about them, cherish about them? Every couple that comes in the first session, I will have them share about their family of origin and, you know, when their paths first crossed. And I love hearing those stories because this could be a couple that's sitting so disconnected, but when they think back to that moment when they met, just the other day, I had a couple talking about crossing paths on a college campus and looking over and seeing this very tall, handsome man is what the wife shared. And then the husband sharing, I saw this beautiful, stunning woman. And what was so cool is I was watching her and thinking she has such striking features. And I just can't even imagine what he saw back then. And just to hear them reflect on that begins to soften and open hearts. And so it's just an easy way. Think back to when you first saw your future spouse. What was it about them? I know some people will say, well, there wasn't a connection and it took, you know, 6 years and then, you know,
I was swiping this way and that
way. But really, why did you agree to spend the rest of your life with this person? Mm-hmm. And often that history gets rewritten, but go back to that moment.
Yeah, that's a good reminder. And we're going to kind of piggyback on that right now as we hear from Lisa Jacobson and Felicia Masonheimer. They've written about something they call biblical flirtation, which is taking advantage of opportunities for romance with your spouse. And they're going to share a little bit more about that with Focus President Jim Daly.
Felicia and Lisa, welcome to Focus on the Family. Welcome back.
Thanks so much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, it just sounds, it's such a, you know, it's already going to be a fun topic, I can tell, but this idea of flirtation, all the guys, all the husbands are smiling, finally, Jim, way to go, and wives are going, oh no.
One more thing.
I mean, yeah, one more thing to do, but talk about just that general idea, help us understand the context. Let me ask it this way, biblical flirtation, is that even a thing I could say?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. When Lisa and I were writing this book, we were, of course, looking first at scripture for what does it say about the relationships between husbands and wives. And one thing that Lisa said that I loved is that our marriages should be holy, but they should also be happy. And sometimes we can get so caught up in the holiness of marriage that we forget about the joy and fun and happiness of being married. And that is a thread all throughout scripture.
Now, I'm not going to let you off the hook yet, because in the book you talked about a Hallmark movie that you and your husband, yes, Josh, were watching. Now, I don't see how you get flirtation out of a Hallmark movie, but please highlight it for me.
Okay, so I'm not saying that Hallmark movies should be the guide for anyone's love life or
well, maybe
marriage.
So. I don't know.
But I was watching a Hallmark movie several years ago, 4 or 5 years ago. My husband and I had 2 small kids, and he was actually not with me while I was watching it. He was at a hockey game. And I was watching this movie, and I was just thinking, we laugh at these Hallmark movies, but yet we continue to watch them. Like women especially, we continue to watch them. And why is it? Well, we know this predictable plot line, right? We know it's all going to work out in the end, but we also love this fun tension of, you know, the back and forth and the kiss in the elevator and things like that. And I was just sitting on the couch watching this thinking, I already have a man. I already have a husband. Yeah. And I am so busy with little kids and work and all of this stuff that I forget to do these things. I wonder what would happen if I integrated some of these funny, like, Hallmark moments, if you wish, into my existing marriage. And that was kind of the basis for the original flirtation experiment that eventually
became. So Josh comes home from this hockey thing, and what do you say to him?
Well,
honey, you look so handsome in that hockey outfit.
That would count as part of the experiment. It would count, absolutely. But because I'm a systems person, I didn't try anything right away. I made a list of 30 flirtations.
Oh my goodness.
I did, 30 ideas, and I was like, I'm secretly going to do these one a day for 30 days and see what happens. And halfway through the experiment, it had, my husband never knew that this is what I was doing. Halfway through the experiment, it had transformed our relationship so much that I told Lisa about it.
Okay. And then Lisa, now I'm turning it to you. You encountered that change in attitude, I think, one day with your husband. What happened?
Yeah, I told her when she talked about the flirtation experiment, I said, you know what? I think that's like one of the secrets to our marriage that we've enjoyed. We just celebrated our 30th anniversary, and we still don't, we're not just staying married. We actually really enjoy each other, and we still kiss and talk and hold hands. And it's not just because we're a good fit, but because we really have been building this over years. However, the turning point, I would say, that I recall is back when I had 4 small children and I was making dinner and I was frustrated in my spirit, just feeling like all I do is cook, clean, look after the kids, make the world go around for everybody else. And my husband came in and he came behind me and like I was kind of cooking some vegetables on the stove and he put his arms around me and I just did the rejection thing, you know, stop, I'm busy. And
I've been pulled on all day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I kind of saw over my shoulder, I watched him walk away and he just kind of had like his shoulders were just drooping. And I had this strange moment where I thought, what did I just do? Here I've been saying, I want more love. I want affection. I want romance. And I just, you know, turned him away and made this my priority. These onions are my priority. And so I turned off the stove and I just whipped around and I pressed myself into him and did a, you know, Hallmark PG-13 moment. And we just had this awesome moment, like right there in the kitchen. The kids just stopped what they were doing and they're
just
like watching mom and dad, like, whoa.
How fun.
And it was really a great moment of going, you know what? We don't need to wait until everything's perfect. We don't need to set aside. I mean, I'm all for date nights, and that comes out in the book as well. But we don't have to wait for date night. And we can just make the most of these daily moments.
Well, what a great reminder that all of us want to be admired. And that's one of the things that gets touched on and discussed in our free marriage assessment. So I encourage you to take that. Aaron, what's one of the best ways that you can help husbands to admire their wives, especially in terms of a counseling practice? I mean, you're dealing with couples who are often struggling in this.
Totally. And, you know, it's interesting, the definition, John, of admire, it means to marvel, to be filled with wonder or admiration and amazed with curiosity.
Wow.
And isn't that so? You're marveling, you're admiring, and you're curious about who your spouse is. And so really watching, you know, what are they doing and what do you see in them, speaking words of life over them? You know, when Greg, matter of fact, in this episode, Greg talked about what a hard worker I am.
Mm-hmm.
That speaks so much life to my soul because I love to know that he sees what I'm doing to contribute,
mm-hmm.
that he sees what I'm doing around the house. Even last night, I decided because I'm in my doctoral program that I was going to order a few like meals that come with everything, you know, ready to go. So I got home from work and we did that together. And, you know, just the gratitude of, hey, where'd you get this? Oh, this is such a great idea.
I could
even do this.
Mm.
It was delicious.
So good.
And it was fun that we got to do it together. together.
Yeah.
But, you know, just I would really ask, have a husband ask his wife, like, what really speaks to your heart, to your soul? When I admire you, when I compliment you, when I express gratitude, when I celebrate what you do, what is it that really speaks to you?
Yeah. And Greg, go ahead and address that very thing. What does it mean to a guy when his wife notices and offers some affirmation about who he is?
Yeah, that's huge. I think it's so important to remember that, and I'm going to generalize here, but I think for most women, they do such an amazing job of affirming each other. You just think about mm-hmm. the last time you were, you know, around your wife and another woman came up and just what they say, oh, your hair, that's so cool. I love mm-hmm, the way you're mm-hmm. doing that. Or, you know, what a beautiful, you know, blouse or whatever, shoes. Where'd you get those shoes? We just don't do that. And therefore, women most of the time are affirming each other. Guys, we just don't have that going on. And so that's such a great opportunity. What a gift. For when a wife affirms her husband, because I think at the core, deep, deep, deep within the heart of every man is this question, do I have what it takes to be successful? Mm-hmm. And for Erin, when she notices the things that I'm doing and points them out, from the simplest of, hey, thanks for taking out the garbage, you know, trash can this morning,
yeah,
to whatever, you know, thanks for being a provider. When she affirms who I am and then thanks me for what I do, those two in combination, I just think speaks so deeply to a man's heart. And I don't think the average guy is going to request that, probably not going to even know that that's such a deep desire and longing to be affirmed, because what that does is it says that you have what it takes.
Yeah,
and that's
enough.
Even a powerful, I think, for a lot of moms to say that to their older teenage sons and young 20-year-old sons, is to keep saying literally those words, man, I'm so proud of you. I just don't, you've got what it takes. You're going to be so successful. I see it in you. In husbands, we love that same sort of thing as well.
And the research actually shows a husband that's affirmed by his wife once a day has a greater satisfaction in the marriage. Even if a husband is being affirmed by colleagues, other males at work, or, you know, like you're saying, women tend to affirm each other more frequently. Sometimes guys will go, hey, I like your jacket. Where'd you get it? You know, even if that's happening, the person that he still wants to hear it from is his wife.
That's true.
He longs to hear it from his wife.
Yeah.
And so when I read that research, I was like, that's easy. Once a day, I can do that. So it's watching for, what am I going to affirm today?
Hmm. Yeah, we were on the sofa last night and trying to find a replacement vehicle for Dina. And at one point, I don't know what it was.
You going with
exactly.
The Porsche, the Ferrari.
Only the best for my wife.
Exactly.
Yes.
So at one point, she reaches over and she just grabs my hand. And I said, what? What's wrong? And she said, oh, I'm just so grateful you're my husband. And it was like, okay, that's a nice general affirmation. And I guess it's because I'm looking out, trying to get the best deal and the best fit for her. Plus, I finally listened to her about what she really wants and not what
but
I want.
How did it make you feel?
So I felt great about it. It was like a warm moment. I thought she was going to correct me or say something's wrong. But instead, she poured life into me.
That's cool. So you were like, I'm staying up all night long.
Exactly.
I will find that vehicle before morning.
I didn't sleep. We have to get it. Well, we've mentioned our free marriage assessment along the way here in the episode, and it's been taken by more than 1 million people. You can complete that in around 10 minutes. It's so easy, and it's kind of fun. So why don't you and your spouse take that assessment before Valentine's Day and find out a little bit more about the power of affirmation, things that are going well in the relationship, maybe a thing or two you could improve on. Do that before Valentine's Day. The link is in the show notes. And we'd love to point you to the book by Greg and Erin called Crazy Little Thing Called Marriage, which is a terrific resource. What's the headline on what this book is about?
Yeah, it's really taking these items within the marriage assessment, these 10 specific behaviors that create a great marriage. In each chapter is unpacking one of these. So you can take the assessment, see where you're strong, see where there's some growth areas. Go to those chapters first as a couple and really dig into, okay, if conflict is a growth area, we just give some really simple practical ways
to better manage and repair conflict, for example.
Great. Well, so hit up our website, take the assessment, order the book, make a donation of any amount today, and we'll send that book to you, Crazy Little Thing Called Marriage. All the details are in the show notes. And next time, we're going to be talking about how to make time for your spouse, even when life is busy, even if Valentine's Day is already booked at your favorite restaurant. For Greg and Aaron Smalley and the entire team, I'm John Fuller, and thanks for listening to the Loving Well podcast.